Well, hey, good morning, Aldergrove. It's good to be with you. As Kevin was saying, most of you don't have any idea of who I am beyond that I'm a guy from Jericho Ridge. And so I know that's always fun and interesting because you're like, it's a random guest speaker. What's going to happen? And there's always a bit of a game to that. So I appreciate that. I just want to say hi. It's been awesome to worship with you. Rachel and I have come by a couple of times over the summer as we're kind of in the in-between stage between Jericho Ridge. We had our last service as a church at the end of June, and we're looking towards our launch coming up in 5 weeks, I think it is, on September 28th. And so it's a weird season, but it's been also an incredible joy to worship alongside you as well. And I also want to know, like Kevin's saying, there's a lot of people that are from Willowbrook / Jericho Ridge that are familiar faces. It's good to see you here as well. It's just so exciting, I think, going into September that we'll gather together under our new name together, but we're still able to worship alongside one another under our new name. And so, I just want to say it's good to be with you and looking forward, if any of you, whether you're from Jericho Ridge or Aldergrove or wherever you may be from, if you want to join us September 28th, put in your calendar. We're very excited to launch together. And so, but for today, we're continuing on in our sermon series. We're in our series called Alive in Christ, where we've been going through the book of Colossians. And so we've been reading this letter together from the Apostle Paul to the church of Colossae, where we have seen really Paul's heart for this new group of believers, this new church that is just getting started in following the way of Jesus. And so we see Paul has had this prayer for the Colossians to really put aside their own desire, to put aside what they think is right and to pursue Jesus instead, to pursue the way of Jesus, to let him radically transform their lives. And so as we've read through this letter ever since Easter, we've been seeing how Jesus can reach into every different realm of our lives. And recently, we've been looking relationally. We've been looking about how do we relate to our spouse or maybe our partner. How do we relate with either our father or mother or kind of similar figures in our lives? How do we relate to kids? The list goes on. We've talked about many different relationships over the last few weeks. But today we're making a little bit of a shift. It's a bit of a shift in Paul's writings because we're turning into the final chapter of Colossians, chapter 4. And now Paul is starting to wrap things up. It's a letter, so he's kind of at the classic, if you've ever written a letter, or if you're normal, like maybe an email, a little bit longer form of a thing. But he's trying to basically say, here's my last thoughts that I want to leave you with. And so we're changing the tone a little bit. And so before I give it all away, let's read our Bibles together. Like I said, we're in Colossians chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 2. Verse 1 talks about masters and slaves, and that's too hard. I let Kevin do that last week. So we're starting in verse 2 together this morning. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, let's pray together. Father, we just give you thanks for your word that you've given to us, that we can read so we can understand you more fully. A beautiful God that's three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so would you just bless our time as we hear from your word that we may be able to grow closer to you by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. Pray this in your name. Amen. I'll admit, when I first looked at this passage, I wasn't entirely sure what to do with it. It's kind of unlike the last few weeks that we've been going through our series, where it's very like, fathers, do this, mothers, do this, masters, do this, slaves, do this. this is a little bit more of almost like a farewell message. And you can tell, like I said, the Apostle Paul is really trying to wrap things up here. And in a lot of ways, when I read this initially, it seems like those five verses are like this weird, like, single stream of, like, consciousness from Paul, where he's, like, trying to wrap things up, and he's like, prayer, you should devote yourselves to prayer. And he's like, oh, speaking of prayer, you should pray for me that I can proclaim the gospel. And then, speaking of proclaiming the gospel, you should do that too. And he just kind of keeps going on from thought to thought to thought. And like, I'm like, Paul, you got to focus on a topic, otherwise I can't preach on this, so that would be great. Nonetheless, he starts off by saying, devote yourselves to prayer, so that's what I did. And as I was praying into this passage, I began to see how actually core these verses are to us as a church today, and as the Colossian church way back when as well. These two themes that I see coming out of this passage, and it's first to pray, and then to proclaim. These are two core things that the Church of Colossae needs to be practicing as a new church. To pray together as a church body, to go out and to pray in their own daily lives, and then also to go out and to proclaim the mystery of Christ. And so both of which he's inviting the Colossians church to do, but he's also inviting us as a church today here in Aldergrove to as well. So Paul leads off by calling us as believers to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I feel like prayer is one of these things where, like, you hear that, like, a pastor is about to preach on prayer and you're kind of like, I'll just snooze for a bit, because, like, we all know what prayer is. We kind of have a general sense of doing it, whether you've grown up in the church like myself. Grew up at Jericho Ridge for almost 20 years. It's all I know. I knew the Sunday school lessons where, you know, you have to, you go to Sunday school and they're like, hey, we're going to talk about prayer. You should pray right before you go to bed and right when you wake up. And that's kind of like the classic, develop a routine of prayer. If you haven't grown up in the church, maybe you're very new to Jesus. It could be your very first time here. And we say, welcome. So glad you're with us. But you also probably have some sense of what prayer is or what it's about. You know, in its simplest form, we maybe say prayer is talking to God. And so we kind of are like, well, it's just talking to God. We'll just chat with him and we're good to go. And we kind of skip how actually crucial it is to our own walks with Jesus, but also how foundational prayer is to our church. I remember when I was a kid, back maybe just getting into middle school, I had the opportunity to go on an international missions trip. We went to the country of Tanzania in East Africa, and we're going to run like a kids camp. And to get to a lot of Africa, you end up flying through the Middle East. So we were flying through the city of Dubai was where we were going. And one thing about Dubai, it's in the country, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, is it's an explicitly Muslim country, where calls to prayer are blasted throughout the entire country for people to come and pray. And what was really surprising for little Brady on that trip was really how insanely committed people were to their prayer lives. It's like a public announcement going across the entire country. And what was the strangest thing, I think, for me to see was, you know, the little seatback TVs before airlines took them away from us? There was like a little map on that TV where it actually showed where the Kaaba is, which is like the main thing that Muslims will try and kneel and on a compass, essentially, direct their prayers towards as like the central of their faith. And so when it's time for them to pray, they would physically kneel and pray, usually have some sort of mat or a prayer rug with them. And so on this flight, they did that, like quite literally got up, took a prayer rug like out of like their bag and kneeled down and prayed, usually like in those little like airplane kitchens. Feels wrong to call that a kitchen, but like where they make food and bring out the peanuts and stuff. They would set up there and start praying. And as a kid, I was like shocked. I was like, this is like really committed to prayer. I've never seen this before. And it actually started making me reflect a little bit. Like, how committed am I to prayer? or like, how does my family practice prayer? It's very different. We've never done that. There's no little map on the airplanes to show me where I'm supposed to pray or how I'm supposed to pray or when. And granted, our prayer life should look remarkably different. We are followers of Jesus in the Christian faith. How we understand who God is and why he's important is radically different than how Muslims would. Nevertheless, it made me examine my own life of prayer. What is my routine? How committed am I to this? How devoted am I to it? In that moment, as I'm flying overseas to this new country and then another new country, I wasn't really thinking about my routines of prayer. Really, prayer was only top of mind when like turbulence hit the plane, right? I'm sure there's a lot of you that are like that. The plane gets a little shaky. Please, God, can we please just land, right? That's really when it comes up. Is that our only view of prayer? It shouldn't be. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. And that's the statement. It's not devote yourselves to prayer when things are going sideways, right? Devote yourselves to prayer in all circumstances. And he gives us two instructions with that, to be watchful and to be thankful. Watchful is an interesting one to me. Other translations say to be alert, to be on the lookout. And so I'd ask, are you anticipating God to respond to your prayer? When you pray for healing or clarity or guidance or less turbulence, whatever it may be, deep down, are you actually expecting him to respond? Deep down, are you really acknowledging that God is truly powerful and most of all, that God does truly hear your prayers? Is that something that we go anticipating with? And then second, Paul says to be thankful. Do we give him thanks often, regularly? Do we give God thanks for this day? The last time we gave him thanks for this building that we get to gather in as the church, to connect with one another, to worship together. When was the last time we gave thanks to God the Father for giving his one and only Son for us? For not his benefit, but our own. Or when was the last time we gave thanks to Jesus Christ, Son of God, for being a willing sacrificial lamb on our behalf? I'll be honest, this like two words, and thankful, convicted me this last week as I was kind of writing everything out. Because I honestly could not tell you at that moment, when was the last time that I sat down and prayed and just was filled with thanksgiving and praise and nothing else? And just spent time in that one space. Thank you, Lord. Can you remember a time? A time of just giving thanks for truly how good the Lord is. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. God does want to hear our cries, our grief. He wants to hear our calls for help. Throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus, the Son of God, experiences some of those same emotions of grief. I think of how Jesus calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? Some of his last words. So Jesus, at the throne of God, understands our grief. But yet we're also called to be filled with thanksgiving. In fact, throughout our journey through the book of Colossians, we've seen thanksgiving come up a lot. This is the seventh time that Paul has called the Colossians to be thankful. We see it over and over. We always thanks God. We give a joyful thanks to the Father. We should be overflowing with thankfulness. Be thankful. Sing with gratitude. Give thanks to God. And lastly, this morning, devote yourselves to prayer, being thankful. When I did all my Bible classes, when I went to seminary, one of my profs constantly yelled at us, basically, if you see something twice, pay attention to it. And so if you ignore something that you see seven times in a book, you should read it again. This is the seventh time. We need to make sure we're noticing that this is a central piece of what Paul is calling us to. And so I encourage you this week, give it a try. Just be filled with thanksgiving during your prayer time. The other piece that I want us to pay attention to as well is a little bit of the context about who Paul is writing to, what we call the audience of the book. Unfortunately, Paul did not exactly have NLCC Aldergrove at top of mind when he wrote this. He's writing it to the Colossian church. It's a very specific group of people. It's why we named the book after them. The church of Colossae, as we said, is filled with new believers, but he was also writing to them specifically. There's other letters in the Bible that are written to a specific person. For example, Timothy. There's actually letters that we can read from Paul to Timothy. But this was written to a church, a single church body. So when we read that verse of devote yourselves to prayer, I would say we should be reading it as devote yourselves as the church to prayer. Or in our context here, devote ourselves to prayer together. It's a communal thing that we can do as a church body. And here at NLCC, it's a really big thing, prayer. It's essential to who we are as a church. At NLCC, we are called to devote ourselves, our corporate selves, to prayer. To do life on our knees, we say. You might have noticed this sign in the foyer when you walked in along with our four core values. This is number one, on our knees. Is central to who we are. At NLCC, we are called to be a community church that is anticipatory of God answering prayer and working in our midst. We're called to be a community church that is filled with thanksgiving for who God is. The triune God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's why here at NLCC, prayer is completely flooded in everything we do. Just this morning, a bunch of our volunteers gathered together and we're praying for our service time. This past week, as staff team, every single morning, whoever is at either here or at Walnut Grove or wherever they may be working, 9 o'clock, we pray together as a staff team to start our day. We've prayed throughout our service and we'll continue to do so. Right now, if you want to pray alongside somebody, there's a prayer room just outside in the foyer there where there are amazing volunteers that would love to pray for you or alongside you as well. After the service, you can also come up to the front and there will be people to pray with you that way as well. Prayer is in the DNA of what we do. I loved how we described our core value of on our knees. We called it like this. We as NLCC are pursuing a lifestyle of constant prayer and passionate worship, trusting that God will give us joy and fruitfulness through his Holy Spirit. That's baked into who we are as a church family. And so Aldergrove, I encourage us to continue to press into this corporate life of prayer, but also to lean into it individually as well in your own walk with Jesus. I admit that establishing a routine of prayer can be very hard to do amidst our busy lives at times. But it is a practice that can radically change our relationship with Jesus. And it's also the foundation of which we operate together here as a church, as Aldergrove, and across all of our four campuses together as one church as well. And that's why, as spiritual leaders of the church as well, we're also asking for prayer. Think of your pastors, your church staff, your church elders. We also regularly ask for prayer from you, our church. Paul asked the Colossians for prayer as well, as we keep reading in verse 3. He said, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Please pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul says, hey, pray for me and Timothy, that we may be able to continue to do our jobs, to proclaim the mystery of Christ, to proclaim the gospel, regardless of the persecution that it brings. I may be in chains, And so your pastors here at NLCC, your church elders, the church staff, all here at NLCC want and need your prayer as we continue to work towards proclaiming the great mystery of Christ in our communities. This proclamation of Christ in our community is what we're called to do as followers of Jesus, to make his name known and to show the love and grace of Jesus to others. And so that's what your staff team here has committed themselves to do. So please pray for them, that they may continue to pursue that goal unencumbered. You have an incredible team here at Aldergrove with Pastor Kevin, Pastor John, Caleb, Matthew, Isaac, Marie. You have an incredible staff team here. Continue to pray for them, that they may be able to continue to follow Jesus well and lead his church well. Also be in prayer for us as the Willowbrook team, as we're preparing for a quick launch in just a few weeks. We're feeling the pressure of things needing to come together and happen well. Pray for us that we're able to do that boldly and excited and freely. Starting a new campus can be a little bit scary at times, but it's also very exciting. You're building something new. So please pray for us as our staff team. We have Pastor Ben as our campus pastor, as well as Pastor Eric and Holly as our worship director and myself. So please continue to pray for us as well. If you've been at Aldergrove since like the early days, which seems weird to say, it's 3 years ago, but if you've been at Aldergrove since the early days, you'll remember how fun it is to build something new. There's a lot of freedom that you have to define culture, to determine programs, whether it's internal here within the walls or out there, out in the community. You get a lot of fun things to do with that and play around with it a little bit. But if when we read through the Gospels as well, there are some things predetermined around what the church is called to do. The why of church, or the goal, or the objective of church, whatever you want to call it. Why are we doing this thing called Aldergrove? Or why are we doing this thing called Willowbrook? And that's because the goal of church, or the mission of church, has already been set for us. At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, we read this thing called the Great Commission from Jesus. And it's really the makeup of why we do anything at NLCC, whether it's here as a campus or as a greater church across all of our campuses. Jesus says this, it's his final words to us at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, that's what our mission is as a church family. Our mission isn't to come here on Sundays and then go about our business and that's kind of it. Our mission actually is to go out and make disciples of all people. It's the cornerstone of why NLCC firmly believes that we're called to be a multiplying church. It's the cornerstone of why Aldergrove was started in the first place 3 years ago, was to go out and make disciples of all people, the people in this community that we're surrounded by. As someone who only just became a formal member of NLCC like a couple of months ago as part of the church merger process from Jericho Ridge, it's that mission that makes a church merger work, that we center ourselves around. In fact, when we were at Jericho Ridge going through this and determining would this work and what would it look like and all that, we often called it a missional merger process, because it's all about the mission that Jesus put before us here in Matthew. For both NLCC and JRCC, we only did a church merger because we felt that it would best accomplish that mission, that if we did it better together, that we'd be able to move forward and reach more people for Jesus. Many of you here also went through a merger process not too long ago. Many of you here are from Bethel Church, and I assume it was a very similar experience, that God was calling both NLCC and Bethel to something new here in Aldergrove, that pursuing the mission of the church was done better together, That's why it exists. And so both this campus here at Aldergrove and the upcoming campus at Willowbrook launching in just a few weeks cannot be done with just a staff team. You can hire all the Kevins you want in the world. He can't do it on his own. But it actually needs all of us to do it. For each of you to say, yes, I am in on that. That I want to pursue this mission with you. And Paul calls the Colossians here in our text this morning to also say yes. Say yes, I want to proclaim the mystery of Christ to people that do not know Jesus yet. He says it in verse 5 to the Colossians. He says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so, friends, I want to focus in on that. Are you making the most of every opportunity? I think of where Paul is writing this letter. He's writing this in prison alongside Timothy. And they have been imprisoned because they were spreading the gospel across the Roman Empire. Rachel and I actually just were in Rome for our honeymoon like a month ago or whatever. And we got to see the Colosseum as like the classic stop in Rome. And so we went to the Colosseum. And I remember we first walked into that space and I was actually feeling quite heavy about it. Because we knew the history of what happened in that space. The persecution that took place across the Roman Empire in that city, and particularly in the Colosseum, where thousands of Christians were slaughtered there because of the massive hatred and distaste for who Jesus is and for his followers. And yet I also remember as we kept walking around the Colosseum, we eventually got to the spot where there's a cross looking down on the entire arena floor. And it was this beautiful reminder that Christ, in the end, does win and reign over all, that he is victorious, that he defeated death. Unfortunately, where we are here in the book of Colossians, the Roman Empire is still openly persecuting Christians. And yet, Paul here in prison with Timothy, he's not asking for freedom. That's not his request. Rather, he's saying, may we continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus clearly. That's his goal. I want to continue to proclaim regardless of the circumstances. And he encourages the Colossians to do the same, and I would say encourages us to do the same as well, to proclaim it clearly, graciously, and with salt. Which, when I read salt, I read, don't make it boring. It's a season. When you add some seasoning to it, makes it interesting. Contextualize it. Make it relevant to the person you're sharing with. You don't just pull out a cue card and say the same old script over and over and over again. Where is that person at? Yet, unfortunately for many of us, we don't hear Paul's call to action, this call to proclaim. Or we don't hear Jesus' great commission that we read from Matthew to go out. Yet we're stuck in these chains that Paul is talking about. Maybe not physical chains like Paul and Timothy are in, but we're still shackled to something in our lives. And so I'd encourage us to ask the question this morning of what chains are preventing you from proclaiming the good news of Jesus? What chains are preventing you from proclaiming the good news of Jesus? In what way are you waiting for your circumstances to change in the right way before then you're willing to go out and pursue the mission of the church? Ask yourself that question. What's that barrier between me going back out on mission again? Are we busy praying for our own freedom from this own prison that we're in and completely rejecting the other? Are we forgetting about our mission to go and proclaim, regardless of our circumstances? Both the beautiful and difficult thing of the gospel is that it flips it. It says the other first, then yourself. And I get that it's challenging to do. And I'm not saying we need to stop praying that we will be redeemed from our chains. There's great joy and freedom in Christ in bringing our worries, our concerns, our shackles to him. But we cannot let it stop us from proclaiming the good news of Jesus at every opportunity. Remember Paul's words, make the most of every opportunity, regardless of circumstance. Don't let the chains distract you from what we're here to do. Don't lose the mission or sight of the mission in front of us that we have as a church body. You as Aldergrove are still here to pursue that mission, that you came here to make sure people hear about Jesus. That's why you planted. And so I ask, are you still busy on mission? Are we still going out into the community of Aldergrove, doing the hard work of evangelism? One of the growing concerns about any church plant eventually is that it starts to lose steam, per se. That it gets stuck in the rut of just doing church stuff. Just doing the Sunday services or whatever kind of programs that we do over and over again. But friends, I want to say, don't forget why you planted here in this community 3 years ago. We want new people to know Jesus. We want to bring out that clunky baptism tank that you got to build every time here and make Kevin build it every week. That would be awesome. Don't let yourself go on cruise control. Don't get comfortable. Continue to pursue the mission of proclaiming the good news at every opportunity. And speaking of opportunities, I'd be remiss as the guy from Willowbrook to not offer you another opportunity. The Willowbrook campus is launching in just 5 weeks. Is the Lord calling you to proclaim Christ's name in the neighborhood of Willowbrook? We are a very, very dense area filled with people who do not yet know Jesus. I have countless stories from the last few years working at Jericho Ridge where people will walk in our door and say, this person gave me a Bible, or this person is now following Jesus in my life, and I've got no idea. Those people exist within like 5 minute walking distance all over the place in Willowbrook. But again, it can't all be done by just a staff team. It's done by a church body, a unified church body going out together and serving alongside one another. And I have to say, joining us on mission at Willowbrook is not about geography. It may be a little bit further of a drive for you to go to church at Willowbrook than it is to come here. But ask yourself the question, are you wanting to be part of a missional church that's being planted in Willowbrook, in that neighborhood, to help more people in that area become disciples of Jesus? And so I want you to consider that question this morning. And continue to ask questions. Ask questions of the Lord. Lord, are you calling me into this? Or I'll be still around after the service. You want to ask me questions about what the church plant looks like? I'd be happy to chat. I don't have as many answers as God, but I have some answers about what Willowbrook will look like. You can also talk to Kevin about it. Whenever you talk to him about church planting, he gets very excited. So like, stay a little bit further away from him. But he would love to talk about it for a while as well with you. And chatting with Kevin over the last year about this merger and a church plant and all that stuff, I know very, very well that he and the entire Aldergrove team would fully bless you if you want to join us at Willowbrook from Aldergrove. In fact, you'd get excited about it. That's a huge joy to see somebody from your church wanting to say, yes, I want to be part of something new as part of the church. Also, Kevin kind of wants to stay at 10 a.m. services because he likes the extra hour of sleep. So the more of you that join us, the more sleep Kevin gets. So if a guilt trip works, I'll do that too. But I admit, saying yes to something is scary, especially a church plant. Lots of things can go wrong. We are still figuring things out, and we have 5 weeks away, and we feel like we're really under pressure. It could start with over 300 people. It could start with like maybe 50 people. We have no idea. It's a challenging environment to work in, but it's also so, so exciting to be a part of. And it can be a huge blessing for your life and in your own family, but more importantly, it can be a huge blessing to the church and to our community who is yearning to know who Jesus is as well. And so as the worship team comes up and joins me to lead us in a time of sung worship, I want to circle back to the beginning of our text this morning in verse 2. Friends, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Whether it's continuing to invest here of the mission of Aldergrove, going out on mission to bring new people so people hear about the good news of Jesus, or if you want to join us on mission out at Willowbrook to start a new church plant, before you tackle any of those questions and figure out what you want to do, I want us to stop and pray. Paul makes no mistake by asking for prayer to do this hard work. Say, hey, pray for me that I can continue to proclaim well. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit working ahead of us that our words or our action of church planting and all this stuff can have any effect. I loved how theologian and Bible commentator N.T. Wright framed it. He said, Paul can talk all he likes, but unless God opens the door for the word to go through, he will simply be making a useless noise. Paul was under no illusions. What opens the door again and again and again is prayer. So friends, we must first pray, and only then can we go out and proclaim the mystery of Christ to others. We have to remember the series that we've been in, that we are alive in Christ. That's the core of Colossians, that we have a core identity in Jesus. And so it's only from that identity in Jesus where there becomes this natural outflowing of proclamation to other people. That identity that we have in Christ, relationship that we have with Jesus, can only grow if we are deeply rooted in prayer, both individually in our own walks, but also corporately as a church. So we must first pray, and then we can go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus. So as we begin to worship together, may I just pray for us as a church body. Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your church to be part of the body of Christ, for all of its beauty and excitement, for all of its struggles and sometimes pain. We give you thanks that you are still with us through it all by the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you continue to empower us and embolden us to continue to pursue the mission that you've put ahead of us, to go out and to make disciples of all people? Would you continue to energize us here at Aldergrove to continue to pursue that mission? Would you continue to energize us and give us And so we give you thanks for the incredible gift of church, incredible gift of church planting. So would you bless our time this morning as we worship you and glorify your name. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.